are all one in Christ Jesus. That's God's take on it. That does not mean we go out of our way to disrespect or to dishonor or to denigrate or anything like that as women, like in, especially in the situation where we're wives. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about our value in Him and the call. Because as Paul said and Jeremiah said, they were separated from in their mother's wombs. Because He knows. He knows what He's calling us for. He knits us together, fearfully, wonderfully made. Well, that includes our DNA. That includes our personality. That includes our tendencies. That includes our gifts. That includes our calling. It's inbuilt in us. And your anatomy has nothing to do with it. As He said before, your heart is the heart of the matter. Not your body. Not what you look like. Whether you're gorgeous or plain or any of that. None of that matters though. He looks at your heart. Your heart determines how He sees you. People will say in false grace, oh, but He only sees Jesus when He sees me. He sees you. You know, you are a person. It says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, so I'm dead. Doesn't mean He doesn't see you. He means the person you were, separated from God, is dead. So He sees you in union with Him. But you are still you, or you would just evaporate. And we haven't evaporated. We now live. It says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the One who gave Himself for me, Jesus Christ. We live by faith in Him, His love. When things are hard and people are throwing arrows hither and thither our way because we're speaking the truth, we live this life by faith. We ask for help. We go to Him, Daddy, 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 it hurts. Holy Spirit, my comforter, comfort me because my heart is broken. And you say you bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, and I need you. We live by faith. We live by faith that He's for us and not against us. We live by faith. I mean, there are so many amazing scriptures in the Old Testament. Scriptures of protection and comfort and strength. Delivered us from all our enemies and lifted us up above those who rose up against us. He's delivered us from the violent man. These are songs. They're glorious. They're the riches of God. We need to know them. We need to delve into them. We need to devour them. The true bread of life is not only in the New Testament. It's in the entire Bible. And you will find so many links interwoven from both old and new. Because it's not like the, yes, it is obsolete in the sense of the Mosaic law, but His character, His provision, His love is not obsolete. And it's all over the Old Testament. And those of you that have been reading it, or maybe have read it and still know that it's true. The Old Testament is glorious. He will give you so much revelation from it. Look what it said today. It still applies to now, does it not? The king, two kings, one speaks for truth, one speaks for lies. He has all his cohort around him, 400 lying prophets. The other one has one that he trusts. It wasn't his prophet, but he knew there was one righteous man that was a prophet, and he asked for him. It's the same in the church today. It's the same in the world, let alone in the church. One doesn't care. He won't lay his life down for his people, let alone for another king, another leader. He'll disguise himself so no one will find out where he is, so he won't get killed. What does God do? Excuse me, random bow. I'm calling the random bows. Woo-hoo! Hits him right there. Well, he leads to them. An analogy is whether a person, you know, and we're not talking about necessarily physically dying, that analogy is that if you are going to speak lies and promote lies and lead people into lies, guess what? You're going to be annihilated. Whether it's now or whether it's when he comes. He won't stand for it. And people who have all the quote-unquote blessings, the amenities, and the big houses, and the big cars, and the big ministries, and the big mouths. Lord, Lord, look what I did for you. Lord, Lord, I never knew you. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. That's his take on it. So when people say, when they want to mollycoddle sin, and when they want to deceive, and when they want to cover it up with a band-aid of forgiveness, or Christianese, or false love, or false grace, that will not walk with God. He's not, you cannot con God, and he's not mocked. And when people think this is too harsh, or this is a law mentality, well, talk to the Holy Spirit about it. Nothing to do with law. To do with righteousness. He said, seek my kingdom first, and my righteousness. And then all these things, whatever you need, will be added unto you. Not seek after these things, lie, cheat, devour, slander, to get them, and then you will receive my kingdom. No, he says, seek my kingdom and my righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Whatever it is that you require. You know, when we realize we really are sons of God, as women or men, we really live the fast daddy. We don't have to say scriptures 4,000 times a day to make a move. We say, daddy, I can't do it. You can. This is too hard. I don't know how. Help me, please. Provide this. Move that. And if he said, I want you to do such and such, then you obey because you're a co-worker with him. Pretty simple. He trusts you. You're his son. Male or female. Because there's no difference in Christ. There is no difference in Christ. There is no difference in Christ. There is no difference in Christ, male or female. None. None. They used to use those scriptures on slave. There's one scripture that talks about, Paul talked about, and it's actually, I think the word actually means servant, not slave. But anyway, it was translated as slave in most renditions. Slaves, you know, honor your, basically your master. They used to use this to promote and continue slavery. Are you telling me God's for slavery? To have a man beaten and a woman beaten and raped and used like a mule? And that's what he was saying in his word? I don't think so. I mean, even a person who isn't a believer would know that sounds like a bunch of hogwash. So to say women, when it says submit to your husband in all things, that has been so used to keep women in abuse. I mean, there are stories of women in the church who have been told their husbands are having sex with other women and even bring them into the house. It's okay, because your demure and submissive and humble spirit will move, lead him out. They're basically supporting them, telling them to support their husbands to commit sin. Adultery, what a horrid sin. Filth that causes in a body. Because what does he say? Sexual sin, Paul actually isolates it as something so horrific because you are doing it with your flesh, your actual body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're communing and prostituting. So we have to also, you know, let's keep our, I remember when I was a little girl, they used to talk about your thinking cap, you know. Okay, children, put your thinking caps on. You know, you have the sweet little teachers. You know, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, whatever. Teachers. And it's kind of like that with the church. Okay, bride, put your thinking caps on. You know, like, don't be so blooming foolish and believe lies. Because someone has a slick way of communicating.
I don't know what flavored mango strawberry.
Well, it sounds so clever. They've got all kinds of degrees behind their name and letters. Or they're very charismatic. The devil loves charismatic people. I'm not talking charismatic in the church charismatic. I'm talking the personality. Your charismatic people are drawn to you because you're either good looking or you're intelligent or you're slick or whatever it is. And people are drawn to the charisma, natural charisma that some people have. It usually has a sexual overtone as well. We're not to be drawn by any of that. We're to be drawn by truth. Believe a lie or speak the truth. Those are our options. If we're going to believe the truth, we need to speak it. Where and when he tells us. I'm not saying go into the supermarket or the shopping mall and get on a little wooden crate and speak it out. If he tells you to, well, better do it. He knows what he's doing. But I'm saying, be willing, be willing, be willing to speak up, to speak for him and the truth he is. And when you get knocked back, which you will, and when you get flat, which you will, and when you get persecuted, which you will know it's for his name's sake and there's a joy that comes with it. It's worth it, speaking out for him. Even though you will be disliked and unpopular. There was only one prophet that spoke the truth in those 400. There were 401. One of them spoke the truth. In that 2 Kings story. And I don't mean story like it was fake. I mean, it's something we were reading. It's historical. Let's call it what it is. Historical story. About what happens when lies overtake you. You'll be killed by lies. They will drain the blood out of you. So anyone who thinks they're actually going to be covered by grace, by lying all the time, God doesn't cover lies. And it's not saying, but I was forgiven for everything, past, present, and future. And I mean, let's really look at that. We were healed from everything too, but if we still get sick, does that mean I'm supposed to pretend that the sickness isn't there and just merrily go along? Or do I address the sickness and go, Lord, this isn't supposed to happen. I'm sick. You healed me by your stripes. You took every disease, every affliction. Okay, let's deal with this. Let me pray about it. Let me get rid of it. Let me bind it. Let me cast it out. Let me ask you for your help to heal my body. Let me believe truth and speak truth out of my mouth for this healing. It's the same with sin. Yes, the penalty has been taken. He took the penalty. Death, 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 death. But we still sin. Do we pretend that it didn't happen? Do we just gloss over and go, yeah, well, he took it for me? No, we address this sin. It's going to make your heart hard if you don't address it. And a hardened heart towards God is a heart that is of no use to him and will destroy you. So we address it. We speak the truth about it. And we say, Lord, I messed up. I lied. Or I held back something I should have done or said. Or I didn't believe what you told me. And you work it out with him. You talk to him about it. You tell him the truth. You just lay your heart on the altar. You really do. That's all you do. Usually, if you're a woman, you're going to cry. Sometimes men will too, depending on their makeup. It's part of your repentance, godly sorrow. He washes you clean. Because the penalty was taken. But the washing happens now. The penalty, the illness was taken. The disease was covered. It was paid for. But the healing needs to be happening now. If we're sick. We don't deny it. We recognize it and deal with it. Acknowledge it. And do what's necessary. Pretty easy. My goodness, we're in relationship with God Almighty. You know, it's pretty easy, really, to be with him. We avoid him when we feel bad. We avoid him when we're scared of confronting something. We avoid him when we think he's going to be mad at us, and we avoid him. I find one of the ways I avoid him the most is when I don't want to deal with something that's really hurt me. Just want it to go away. But it never does. Until I go to him. And he washes it out. He cleans me up. He frees me. He lifts my spirits. He comforts me. We might as well go to the one who's going to give us truth. You know, I just see it. This is the phrase he's giving. Truth on a platter. God gives you truth on a platter. It's laid bare before you. Here, have it. Take it. He doesn't do some kind of weaving, little tricky statements to con you and bring you in, half truth. Oh, tell them this part, but don't tell them that part. That's Satan doing that. God will just give you truth on a platter. Here, you want it? Here. Here's a knife and fork. Have it. It's yours. And the Spirit of Truth, Holy Spirit, the person of truth, is in us. Walking in us, moment by moment by moment by moment. We ignore him or we yield. We deny he's there or we listen. We harden our hearts or we open them. But he's there for the taking. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he's saying this. I don't even want to say that. That sounds horrible. Lord, you're there for the taking. That sounds like we're going to use you and abuse you. He's going, I gave myself. As Jesus gave himself. Now Holy Spirit has given himself to us. To indwell us. Because Jesus said, it is better that I go. And the Comforter will come. The Teacher. The Counselor. The Spirit of Truth and the Spirit of Liberty. Will indwell you forever. Holy Ghost is saying this right now. Take me, I'm yours. I don't know how more humble God could be. Believe a lie or speak the truth. Believe me and you'll speak the truth. Believe a lie and you'll speak a lie. But I've come to be truth. And truth more abundant.